is episode 62, and today we'll be discussing a research study on environmental enrichment. Before I get started on this, I wanted to say thank you to those of you who have been supporting me by purchasing my book from Amazon. The book is called Play With Your Food, How to Get Your Toddler to Eat. It's a short book, which I did on purpose because I wanted to try and put something out there that would be fairly quick and easy to read, but that would provide actual helpful information for people on the subject of eating issues with kids. As a parent and professional who works with kids, I am interested in reading books, and when I see a book that looks interesting but there are 300 to 400 pages, I often end up saying forget it. I just don't have the time most days to sit down and read a book that long, no matter how interesting I think it will be. So I was hoping with this shorter book, it's about 50 pages or so, that more people would be able to pick it up, read it, and get some information out of it that they could start using in their life right away. If you have purchased my book and read it, I would love to hear your feedback on it, good and bad, but hopefully good. I plan on writing more books, and your feedback would really be helpful when I get the next one ready. You can either send me an email at allison@mymidwesttherapy.com or just put a customer review on the Amazon site if you have a minute. Okay, so now I want to talk about a research study that I discovered a couple weeks ago when I was at the Kansas City Autism Conference. There were 3 speakers at the conference: Temple Grandin, Stephen Shore, and Brett Collins. This was the first time in all these years that I've had the chance to see Temple Grandin in person, and it was really neat to listen to her and to hear her perspective on so many important issues related to people with autism. One of the things she mentioned was a study called Environmental Enrichment as an Effective Treatment for Autism, a Randomized Controlled Trial. The study was published in 2013 in the journal Behavioral Neuroscience. The study was conducted at the University of California at Irvine. The study included 28 males, ages 3 to 12 years, with a diagnosis of autism. They used the Autism Diagnostic Observation Scale to confirm the diagnosis of autism in each of the children. They split the kids up into 2 groups randomly. The first group was considered a sensory motor enrichment group plus standard care, which included 13 kids. And the second group had 15 kids, and they received only standard care. Now, standard care included things like applied behavior analysis, or ABA, speech therapy, occupational therapy, and physical therapy. No sensory integration therapy was allowed for either group during the study. The enrichment group received exposure on a daily basis to multiple sensory motor stimuli. The parents of the kids in this group were given a supply kit, which had pretty much everything they would need for this. And I'm not going to tell you what the whole list of supplies were because it's pretty long, but you can find the link to it in the article on my website, where you can read that whole list if you want to. Some examples of things that were included in the supplies were things like essential oils for the olfactory sense, or the sense of smell, and for the tactile sense, things like aluminum foil, sandpaper, and sponges. For manipulative objects, there were colored beads, buttons, mini plastic fruits, and more. They were given specific music CDs for the auditory piece and other miscellaneous items like metal spoons, ice, a ball, a picture book, and bubble wrap. The procedure for this group was that the parents were asked to do certain things each day. First of all, the kids were to be exposed to 4 different fragrances every day, but at different times of the day. The scents were placed near the child, and they were exposed to the scents while their parent gently rubbed their back with a closed hand. This would last for about 1 minute. There were 7 different types of odors given in the kit, and they were supposed to switch it up every day, so they weren't always getting the same ones. The other constant was that the kids listened to classical music 1 time a day. The researchers wanted the kids to wear headphones to listen to the music in order to combine the auditory listening part with a tactile stimulation of the headphones being on their ears. However, many of the kids would not wear the headphones, so they just played the music through a CD player instead. Then the parents were asked to do given exercises with their kids 2 times a day. And these exercises lasted about 15 to 30 minutes each time. They became more challenging through the course of the study. Again, there's a long list of exercises given in the study, so just look in the show notes to read them all. The concept of sensory enrichment is to use sensory motor exercises to stimulate using 2 or more senses at the same time. And one of the senses should be either touch or smell, tactile or olfactory. So a couple of examples of the exercises are, one, the child squeezes objects of different shapes and textures, which involves the areas of tactile and motor. And another example is the child's finger is placed on a cool object, and then a warm object, which involves the areas of thermal and tactile. The study lasted for 6 months, and the results of the study indicated that the 6-month sensory motor enrichment therapy showed improvements in cognition and in the severity of symptoms in children with autism. These results were consistent across all of the age ranges of the kids in the study. There were a lot of factors that could have made the results look less significant, but that didn't happen despite all of the variables. For instance, the study relied on the parents to be consistent in doing the activities with their kids, which is difficult to confirm or measure because they really had to rely on the parents to be honest about the amount and the type of activities that they did with their kids at home. There was a wide range of ages of kids in the study, and there was a relatively small number of kids involved in the study. All of these factors, plus more, still didn't affect the consistent results they got. So this suggests that the environmental enrichment has a strong effect on the children in the study. Specifically, they found that 42% of the kids who received the environmental enrichment part of the study showed clinically significant improvement compared to 7% in the standard care group. The clinically significant improvement, to put it in different terms, was that they improved by 5 points on the CARS scale. And CARS is the Childhood Autism Rating Scale. It is often used as part of the diagnostic process for autism. Now they have a CARS 2, a second edition that includes either a standard version or a version for kids who are thought to be high-functioning with suspected autism. I know that I've been spending a lot of time today talking about this study, but I think it is an important one for all of us to think about. Temple Grandin breaks it down into 3 main points. 1, always changing the stimulus, so we don't continue to do the same thing every day and every time. 2, stimulating 2 senses at the same time. Whatever the activity is, you make sure to incorporate 2 different senses. This leaves things pretty open because there are so many combinations of the different senses. And 3rd, one of the senses is always either smell or touch. So this does help give you a sense of direction about what activities to offer the kids. Even though they use specific activities during the study, I would encourage everyone, therapists and parents both, to start thinking about the sensory activities in this way overall. Come up with your own activities with items that you already have in your own house, and also add more if you need other things. But just start doing these every day with your kiddos that have autism. Like I said before, the specific activities and items they used in the study are listed in the link on the show notes. So you can find those and use those for examples if you need to, or if you want to, at least especially to get started. This is an interesting concept to me because as an OT, I'm always talking with parents about sensory processing and trying to give suggestions based on what their child likes and what their child might benefit from. Specifically adding an element that includes touch or smell, plus one additional sense like movement or proprioception or auditory, things like that, will give the child a boost towards hopefully seeing additional improvements in their symptoms. You can, of course, add additional senses to the activities. It doesn't just have to be limited to two. One of the examples in the study that included three senses was where the child lifts an object out of a cool bowl of water and then a warm bowl of water. This activity involves motor for grabbing, holding, and lifting the objects, which I would also consider to be the tactile piece of touching the water plus touching the object. It also includes thermal sensation because the water temperatures vary between warm and cool. And finally, the visual sense because they're using their vision to reach in and get the objects. As an OT, I love thinking about activities in this way, breaking them down and considering all aspects of the activity from a sensory perspective. I think most people would find this tedious and maybe pointless, but when you're talking about trying to improve a child's daily life, it is extremely valuable and rewarding to know that these things can and actually do make a difference for the kids and their families. The term for this is called activity analysis. I haven't actually used this phrase for about 15 years now, but in OT school, it was something we talked about and practiced a lot. Even though I haven't said the phrase, I use it every day in my work. Back then, we mostly used the activity analysis examples to think about daily routine activities, like taking a shower or brushing your teeth. But you can do it with any activity that you can think of. We would practice breaking each part of the activity down into steps. This is very specific. You don't get to skip steps or assume that some steps are just known to everyone. You really have to think about it, each minute detail of the activity. Basically thinking of it as if you were teaching someone to do the activity for the very first time. I have a link to an example of one activity analysis that I found on the internet, just to show you what this can look like. For the sensory stuff and with this environmental enrichment approach, I think you can look at it the same way as you would when doing activity analysis. Although I don't think you have to get down to every last detail with it. Just thinking about breaking the activity down into the different types of sensory pieces or experiences is probably enough. This is one of those things that I think we as OTs do in our minds every day when we're working with people of all ages, from infants to adults. But we don't always talk about it or write down the activities in this way. I think we usually just keep track of it in our minds most of the time. This is why we really have to consider what we are saying to parents and clients. We have to remember that they probably aren't thinking about things in this way, so we have to do our best to explain the pieces of activities or pieces of our suggestions to them in a way that is meaningful and understandable. So, you OTs out there, get to thinking about it this way. Think about how to make sure you are incorporating a tactile or olfactory aspect to each activity you provide or suggest with kiddos. Now, this study involved kids ages 3 to 12 years. It did not include kids younger than 3 years of age, but I would say that it's probably safe to start this with our kids that are receiving early intervention. They weren't included in the study, so that just means there isn't clinical evidence that it would work with the younger ones. But it doesn't mean that it won't work with them. We just don't have the research as evidence to prove it for that age yet. Okay, so don't forget to check out the community resource directory on my website at mymidwesttherapy.com. click on the Community Resource Directory tab at the top of the page, and you can see all of the businesses that are listed there so far. If you have a business or a service somehow related to the area of special needs, it's very easy to get yourself listed there too. The fee is only $30 for a year. That is a really good deal for advertising your business. I have listeners all over the world, so if you have an online business, that would also work great for this. You will be able to reach a pretty large audience for a very reasonable cost. We need to work together to build this community of resources for those families out there who are searching for more services and products that might help make their daily lives a little easier. That's all for today, and thank you so much for listening.